So the next topic is actually just question and answers around open QA or about the community or about the developer process. I have not prepared anything, so I didn't expect the big hall, but anyway. Actually, I would like I have one question myself about this, and this is actually straight to Kulu, about the tool development process. Could you a little bit describe how you add your new features, how to fix bugs in the open QA community? And on the SUSE side, I can add myself, so. You want to start?
No, he wants a microphone.
Okay. We have GitHub projects, like GitHub OS Autoinst was, and in that project we have, or in that organization as GitHub calls them, we have OS Autoinst for the backend stuff. We have OpenQA for the web UI and user management stuff, and we have OS Autoinst Distri OpenSUSE for the tests. And for OpenSUSE, we have also the needles there. It's called OS Autoinst Needles OpenSUSE. And for all of them, you can create pull requests, and we will comment them and review them. And we have, for OpenQA specifically, we have running unit tests on Travis that will report regressions on the web UI itself.
Okay, thank you. Are there many people outside of SUSE? How big is the OpenQA community? What would you say?
Last time I checked, there were 40 contributors to all these repositories. Mostly the largest contributions happen to the tests, obviously, because that's what the OpenSUSE community interests most. For OpenQA, we have.
Kannst du das näher hinhalten?
Huh? What?
Yeah. Use the microphone, please.
I think we have like two or three maximum contributors externally to the code base.
So the most is done internally in SUSE.
Okay. Mostly it's internally at SUSE, and we have Fedora guys providing fixes they need. And lately we have someone from Aachen who's contributing.
Okay. Maybe Dominic wants to share a little bit about how they use it for Tumbleweed and Leap.
Yeah, I can give it a try. Of course, with Tumbleweed, we are heavily relying on OpenQA. For us, the important part is actually knowing what's happening and having a direct channel to the developers, which we do using IRC. And I think generally it works fine. People are reactive. Sometimes it blocks a snapshot because something broke. Last week, I think, we had something, but nothing that takes forever to get a fix in.
Okay, I can share something how we use it actually for SUSE in production, for testing the SLES version. We have actually two cycles of OpenQA. First, we have the so-called staging project, where developers can submit the packages into OBS, and then there is a kind of an image where we put together to do a staging project where we use a bunch of tests to make sure that nothing breaks the image, and then this all goes into the build server, and after a build is created for SLES, we do a full cycle of QA with a lot of different test cases in different areas, like functional, kernel, migration, and so on. That's how SLES is using, how SUSE is using it for production QA. So, are there any questions from anybody to the tool or to the development process? Anybody interested?
Okay, you use some graphical library that can detect
Can you speak louder, please? Speak louder, please. I can hear you.
that can detect runs. Sorry?
Close to your mouth.
Yeah.
Close to your mouth.
Okay, better. Better now.
You use some graphic library that can detect road signs, and it when you have like two pieces of text which are black and white, so high contrast, and the outline has a few shades of gray, different because of different hinting, you get 34% match. How does that like? It's
pass the test. Pass the test, or what do you mean?
I mean, it probably doesn't because it's low match, but actually the text is very, very similar and the difference is only negligible compared to the contrast of the whole image. So how does it,
how do we do this? Okay, there are two things. First of all, this percentage depends on the size of the needle. If you have a big screenshot, then the percentage gets kind of blurry. If you narrow down the area and the needle is pretty small, then you have more failures with the same issue. The other thing is we can change the percentage of when a test case fails or passed. So we could say it was 90% test case passes or fails. Is that correct, Kulo? Yeah. And so we kind of have some space here where we say with a certain percentage it fails or passes, and these two rules have to be applied to every test case, to every needle, and then make sure that the test case passes or fails.
Yeah, of
course.
Does that
answer your question?
And there is some guideline that needles that have lower than 90% are completely useless because...
I think that the percentage is fixed. It's with 90% or with something like this.
Yeah, but what I am asking is how do you apply that algorithm that detects road signs, which is like really fuzzy matching because the road signs can be rusty and the cameras are blurry and all that. And you get black and white text, which is high contrast, and you get a small outline, only a few shades of gray different, and it's rejected.
Yeah.
Because we want to. This is how we want to it. Because there are screens, for example, where the underscore on the text in the UI element specifies the shortcut that you have to use. So you want to assert that if you press Alt F, the file menu opens. So you have to make sure that the F is actually underscored before you press it, which means there's a huge difference if the F is underscore or the L, and that's why we have to be very precise on the matching. And as Marita already mentioned, the needle can be tuned to be forgiving. But as most of the times the product does not change its font randomly, this problem that I just outlined only happens if someone decides to change the font, and then all the screens create this problem, but not in general.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I have one. You mentioned that OpenQA can automatically write bug reports. Is that correct?
Can write what?
Automatically raise bug reports.
No.
No.
No, that's not true. Actually, you have a test case, and the test case fails or passes for different reasons, and then a QA engineer has to go in and investigate why this red case is red or green. One reason could be there is a new feature in the product and the test case has to be adjusted. One thing could be product has a bug, a failure, or somebody broke the test case, somebody broke the backend, and so on. So there are tool related issues or product related issues. And this has to be done manually. Actually, the engineers have to check the failing test case, And we have some methods here so that you can add a tag to this test case saying this is a bug and this is a product issue, and then this has to be investigated further. But this is actually done manually.
So in other words, you have a change control board.
Sorry?
In other words, you have a change control board. You go through the results of the
test. Yeah, actually, we wouldn't say change control board, but it's actually the main work of product QA at the moment. So at QA, when we test less, we have this test automation framework. This is one part of our department's work. And the other part is really doing a review of the builds of the test cases. So we have implemented several groups who are doing a daily review or regular review of the builds, mostly one build a day. And they really look into each red test case, make sure that we investigate it correctly, and also make sure that we don't have false positives and all this kind of stuff. This is actually one of the two main jobs that we do at Product QA at the moment.
Do you also test GUIs like KDE?
Yes, we test the operation systems, the installation and applications on top, like KDE and GNOME as well, and other applications. And
so how do you handle things like when KDE crashes and Dr. Conky kicks in? How do you handle?
I mean, if it's a KDE thing, we report a bug. If it happens occasionally, yeah, we kind of re-trigger the test cases, but make sure that we track all this and report bugs if it's really on the KDE side. Yeah.
There's the tests have an post-fail hook. So if they fail, they will try to gather some logs to upload to the system so that that you don't have to rerun the test manually, but have the logs right away in the system, so that we can provide the link to the failing test right to the developer, and he has all the logs available.
And he has the crash dump,
in most cases not, but other logs, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other things? What time is it actually?
I have some other question with these tests. I run in this problem with different fonts as well. And when I look at the difference, if I see that there is no significant difference, could I create a difference in the subtract the outline from the area that is matched, so that I get only the parts of the letters that are fully?
I mean, you can narrow down the needle to the area that you're interested in and make sure that you really have needle and image comparison in this area, and if you can exclude all the other stuff that you're not interested in. Does that answer? Was this a question? Yeah.
There is text, and the difference is the outline, because there is different hinting or slightly different font. Maybe it may be, if I run a different terminal, it may be bold or.
Okay, if you have a change of the font, like it's bold or not, it really depends on this percentage. If the percentage is matching 90% or more, then you have a pass. If not, it's failing.
Well, it will not pass because the difference is too large, but I would like to...
I would like to comment what is available for investigation in the web UI currently. So what we do have available is the screenshot as it happened and the reference screenshot that he wants to compare with. And so what you can do is you can take these two images and calculate the difference. It's not done automatically because it's not such a common case to have a difference in hinting or like a little shadow or blurry edge around the fab that we would say we would need this more often in testing to help. But I think it's quite easy and feasible to do because the data is available. And also what is reported is the is the this value of match, is it a 0% match, like it could not try to match this anywhere, or anywhere in between, like as we saw in before, like a 30% match or 60% match, where we say like, yeah, probably the right content is shown, but it differs, let's say, in a single character, or maybe the hinting, as we mentioned.
Okay, thank you very much, Oliver. Any other questions from anybody? I have one question, because I just saw on the slides, to my own surprise, that we have QA version 4.4. How do we plan this version numbers? I'm really surprised by this myself.
The 4.4, I think, was done 2 months before last year's OpenSUSE conference. And during the OpenSUSE conference, we discussed if we want to have 4.5, and we decided to wait for more features to be done. And then, so it's 4.4, and then a time.
Okay, so my follow-up stamp. Question here. Do we have something like a schedule for this? Does the community provide a schedule, or is it only an ongoing discussion on some daily stand-up meetings? And if not, would it be a good idea to implement something like this, more a formalized schedule for releasing or so?
Possibly. No, we don't have any schedule. And we don't do any releases at this point, because the main reason we did releases initially was because Fedora used the stable version that we provided, and they don't do this any longer, so there's not any appealing reason to do releases at this point. And Olli is moving more towards having a rolling release inside of Tumbleweed, so but increasing the version from time to time would make the message clearer that we're developing this thing, and not that's not stale. But other than that, there's no roadmap.
So the idea is more to move towards a rolling release, and this is already discussed in development team or under investigation.
So currently what we have in the GitHub repository of Source Audience, as well as OpenQA, is, let's say, on a near daily basis, and new features added and fixes merged. And all of this is in a releasable state, because currently the tests that we run on each pull request is ensuring that the full web UI can be started and tests can be triggered. On top of that, within OBS, where we build packages for OpenSUSE and SLE, we are also incrementing the version number, so it's 4.4 and then some suffix to that. So each version number, of course, is unique. And what is currently done is that we have tests of OpenQA within OpenQA. So OpenQA is also testing itself. And the idea was to use the outcome of that in an automatic way to create a submission to OpenSUSE Factory, so that every release of that, if it passes its own test, will also be created as a submit request to provide a new version within OpenSUSE Factory, and therefore OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, and also we have it in Leap, but then in Leap we are probably trying to come up with a more stable way to releasing.
Okay, thank you very much. Actually, if there are no other questions, I can recommend the test case beginner training for OpenQA. So is it some QA engineers will show you how to write test cases in OpenQA later today in the workshop area. I think at 4 o'clock or so, something like this. 4:45. Yeah, okay. Santi, do you have something else to add? No. Sorry? It's 4:30. Okay. So 4:30, Santi and Matthias and Nick and Rodion sitting there with the nice t-shirts will do a test case beginner training if somebody is interested. Thank you very much.